Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for all of that. I just get so giddy when I hear that. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting straight out of Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, it is such a beautiful day. It feels like summer here. I mean, the sun is shining, people are out in shorts. I mean, just a few weeks ago, it was like winter. But now it's. I'm in my studio, and I'm looking out on the Broadway here. We're near the lake. It is summery. It feels like the middle of July. I don't know, and it's officially is not spring, but you know who's griping about that. But it's summer. This is summer like weather. This is not spring. So the atmosphere weatherized is still screwed up. But hey, I'm not complaining. We deserve it. And I hope wherever you are, that the weather, you having such great weather too, like we are here in Chicago. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, right here. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for being here today on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am so, we got some things we're going to discuss and talk about, basically. And I want to tell everybody out there that today is my son's birthday. It's his 17th birthday. And he's somewhere out partying, okay? And I'm wishing him a lot of fun on his birthday, 17th birthday. And, you know, he's got some changes. He's got some things he has to do, believe me, like getting ready for college, you know, those kinds of things. So welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And my guest today is author Tara Turner. She's been on the show before. And so that should be fun. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show. All right, we can get started. I want to say something before I bring her in on this. I want to say happy birthday to Bob Dylan. He's 75 years old today, 75, and he's still going strong. I mean, this guy is still going strong. I mean, most musicians, even myself, look up to Bob Dylan. He's 75 years old, and we'll be talking some more about that later on into the show. So happy birthday, Bob. His birthday is today, and also my son's birthday is today. Wow, they share a birthday. Must be something there, you think? All right, they're both musicians. My son is also a musician, and Bob's a musician. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Okay, he turned 75. He has a new album, you know, I've listened to it, sampled it. It's not Bob Dylan, the Bob Dylan that I'm used to, but it's Bob Dylan. He's still kicking. So that's all we can say about that, that he's still around. So many of our artists if I can say it, they've passed away, but Bob is still here at 75, and we just wish him a happy birthday. All righty. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go to the phones, folks. All righty. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello. Hello, Mr. Wilder. How are you?
I am so fine. I am so giddy. We are having so much. The weather is just something. It's something about the weather today.
I hear in the Windy City.
You know, yeah. You know, the weather kind of play a part in the way I'm acting. You know, the way I feel. If it's gray and rainy, I'm gonna come on the radio and sounding gray and rainy. You know,
exactly.
It's inside of me.
Exactly.
You know, but the sunshine is coming through.
We're creatures of our environment.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly, you know, creatures of our environment. Yeah. And, it's beautiful outside. And, even watching the bugs fly around is making me
feel
good.
They're enjoying it,
you know,
too,
because
why not?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. How is it there?
You know what? I'm currently, well, as you know, I live in New York City, but I'm currently
yes.
in North Carolina visiting family. And I have to say, I'm sorry, but being in the South, we are so used to this wonderful weather. It is more often beautiful than not. Although I will say, and I don't want to get on my environmental, you know, soapbox, but even in the South, it's so hard not to notice that the weather is not quite what it used to be, like when I was growing up. And it really makes you wonder, you know, where we're headed with this, you know, but I can say that today it is warm, sunny, and beautiful. So I'll be grateful for that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, because like in Chicago, you never know. I mean, it could be 80 one day and tomorrow it's 40, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking
mm-hmm.
about rain anyway. All right.
We had a lot of rain last week, and I was like, is it, you know, spring in the South? It was cold. It was really cold. But, you know, today, like there, you know, it's a beautiful day, beautiful day.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show. All right. Give everybody a little bit of piece of your bio.
Oh, gladly. Again, you know, my name is Tara Woods Turner, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
I am a certified etiquette professional, and I'm also an author and a publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
my latest book is Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. It's
mm-hmm.
available on Amazon. And I also write and publish curriculum or etiquette curriculum for schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations. Show them ways to implement etiquette and manners classes to their students. How to build it into the, you know, the school's curriculum. So
mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I love it.
And you're also blind.
Yes, I am. I am actually. Let's see. I've always had some issues with my eyes. Well, let's just say in my adult life, when I was 26
mm-hmm.
years old, I had an attack of, it's called optic neuritis. And that left me
mm-hmm.
blind, like, you know, totally blind. Because, you know, there's stages. There's blind where there's no light perception. And then
exactly.
there's legally blind or visually impaired. There's three different
mm-hmm.
ways to look at it. And I was blind for about 3 months. And then I was just visually impaired for the next 4 years after that. But with, you know, modern medicine and lots of, you know, therapy, I got better. And then I was blind for years. Yeah. And but then when I was 38, I had another, actually a completely different onset, a completely different eye disease. So that's where I am now. So I have sorry.
I was going to say, with modern technology, I mean, the way that technology is going nowadays, blind people are going to be able to see within apps for phones to help blind people. And they're making with technology, they're making these glasses where you can just put on, a blind person can put on these glasses, and they'll see for the first time in their lives. What do you think about that kind of thing?
You know, I'm so pleased that this kind of research is going on, and I read about it from time to time, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating, and it really gives you a lot of hope and encouragement.
A lot of hope, and
20 years from now, 30 years from now, you know, the next generation, if they have my exact same eye disease, they will not experience what I have. They will be able
to use
modern medicine
technology. I don't think we have to wait so far in advance for this. And, you know, this is happening right now. I mean, I think this
you make a good point. Yes.
To be within your lifetime, you may be able to experience it yourself, because technology, that kind of technology is here. It's not somewhere in the future. It's now.
The advances are happening rapidly.
Yeah.
And in fact, even when the technology, or even just the medical advances that I have benefited from, because George, the treatment that I received for my eye condition, it wasn't available 20 years ago. So you're right. And I've benefited from the advancements that have been made in the recent past. So there's no reason to believe that, like you said, 5, 10, 15 years from now, the technology won't have tripled. It won't have tripled even. And people are just not going to have to deal with the same sort of physical problems that we deal with today.
Yeah, that's because for sure. I do think, and I do believe, and I've been hearing reports of this, that some people who are visually impaired or blind are actually seeing for the first time as we sit down here and speak.
Absolutely.
You know, they're using that technology.
And, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's being blind is going to be a thing of the past. You know, I mean, and it's great, because I'm going to share a little bit something with you. My son, maybe you heard that his birthday is today. His birthday, but he is actually losing his sight.
George,
but I'm not worried about it. Yeah, he's actually. But the doctors say as long as I stay on top of it, it can be avoidable.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
But he's actually losing his sight as long as I stay. Matter of fact, actually, when I take him back to the eye doctor, they're going to do some sort of procedure to try to save his sight. You know.
Oh.
And he was born that way. He was born that way. Mm-hmm. He's losing his sight. He doesn't like to wear glasses. Of course, he thinks he's cute and glasses are going to make him.
He's too cool for that, right?
Yeah, he's too cool for that. But I try to tell him every day, man, I say, you're going to go blind. The girls are not going to be.
He's right.
You
tell
know.
Him to weigh his options. You know, look a little bit uncool today or and save his sight.
But you know what? I wanted to say I'm not as worried about it, because with all the technology and all of the advances that are being made for the blind, you know, I'm not worried about it at all. You know, so that's what
it's very encouraging.
It is encouraging, and it makes me feel better. I think he's encouraged. I don't think he's worried at all, you know,
mm-hmm.
because he's still doing what he's doing, you know. You know, he's a
and
teenager.
And don't you feel
so
good that money is going into this research? We waste money on so many things. We do. But this kind of research, it just it warms the heart knowing, okay, this is how we should spend our resources. This is, you know, money at work.
This is wonderful. All right, Tara, we're going to talk about your book. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Actually, the question is, how do you raise a sophisticated child?
Oh, well, it is the easiest thing. You do it in two parts. The first thing is your attitude. As a parent or a caregiver of a child, the first step you take is just the mindset of knowing this is the projection, or this is what I want for my child's future. And I'm willing to do the work, you know, to make it happen. And that's the hardest step, but that's the easiest step. After that, it's just a matter of understanding what we mean when we say sophisticated. I've had opportunities to speak to so many wonderful people out there about my book. And one thing I often have to do is to sort of recalibrate their thinking when they hear the word sophisticated. You know, we think of, you know, sitting down to an elaborate meal with good wine or, you know, art and literature and all the things that seem adult. But when it comes to child raising, what we mean by sophisticated parenting is exposing your child to new ideas, exposing your child to exciting new concepts and challenges, and not being afraid to let them explore. And what you end up with is a child who's confident, a child who is engaged and is engaging and has respect for himself and for others and knows how to take on new challenges. That's entirely what we mean by sophisticated. And it involves a lot of spending time with the child. You can't turn it over to someone else. You can't outsource it. You can't expect the school to do it, the community. It's something that begins at home. Mm-hmm. It really begins at home. But having said
I think a lot of things.
It's not work. It's so much fun.
Oh yeah, it's fun as long as the child is actively participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, but sometimes you can't get children to actively participate in anything that involving a parent. I mean, you know, some kids look at a parent like they're the green monster,
like
or something.
Aliens.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah,
well,
the green,
you know,
yeah, whatever.
And that's okay. That's okay. A certain amount of that is to be expected, and it's actually a good thing, George, because what it means is your child is confident enough to try to do things without you, to try to get by, to try to learn, to try to grow without being so close, you know, to mom and dad. And if you'll notice, this usually happens, you know, in their prepubescent years or as they're becoming teenagers, and that's entirely organic. It's actually what needs to happen, because once you've instilled the values and the behaviors that you want to see in your child, you will have a little bit of pushback because they need to test those values to make sure that they work. It seems like they're rejecting it, but what they're doing is testing it. They're pushing and they're pulling and they're, you know, they're setting up boundaries and going against, you know, your boundaries. But it's all part of a circuit. It's sort of a full circle. So, you know, they start out with our instruction and our example. They get to the point where they want to do things for themselves, and it seems like they're not as interested in our input, but they're testing. They want to poke holes in it and see how strong it is. And it's important to keep those boundaries in place. We don't, you know, we don't give in, but we make it elastic. So if we bend, we don't break. And then they end up coming full circle, and they realize, and this usually happens in the later teen years, mom and dad were right. Not only do I see it, but this is the kind of adult I want to be. And then it's all worth
it.
Exactly. It's all worth it.
Oh, wow. It sure is. It sure is. Tara Woods turned on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tara, do you have an excerpt of your book that you can read or you know, or expound on a chapter that's one of your favorite chapters in the book?
Oh, that's a good question. One of my... one of my favorite chapters is actually on fashion. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but I think the chapter is important because it sort of outlines our entire approach to child raising. Again, you know, fashion is only going to be but so important. But when you look at it in context, again, we were talking about those battles that we sometimes, you know, have with our little ones. It's never really about the battle. It's about them sort of pushing back. And one way that kids do this quite often is through fashion, through things that, you know, mom, I don't want to wear this, or I want to wear that, or they have a look that you don't approve of. Well, in the grand scheme of things, that's one of the least things that we have to worry about. Therefore, I think it's a perfect opportunity to sort of test those child-rearing practices that we talk about in our book. You know, where do you stand your ground? Where do you put your foot down? You know, what's important? And your child realizes that you're an ally, that, you know, you're not out to impose your will on them, but you're out to create a partnership with them. And when you give a little, you know, give and get, push-pull, then it, you know, it works out well. So again, that's one of the things that we stress in the book,
if you know, I don't mind reading a little excerpt from the chapter. It's from chapter 6 of our book. And you know I'm very chatty, George, so you cut me off.
I know. Author Beyond Matters, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. It sounds like a great book. It sounds like something I should be reading, actually, because I do have a child, and he's not a bad child. But, I mean, this book seemed to be so informative. Go right ahead.
Okay. Again, this is from Chapter 6, Grooming and Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's imagine you're dressing for a dinner party, and your child insists on wearing a glittery, sparkly ballet tutu instead of the $60 slacks that you purchased for her. What do you do? You let her wear them. Let her wear the tutu. Crushing her sense of whimsy will do nothing to cultivate a sense of style in your child. It is not necessarily a battle of will. She is simply trying to tell you something about herself. Listen carefully, and then you, as the parent, take the lead. Compiling a list of do's and don'ts in your head will help you keep a checklist of how to conduct the conversation with your child. First, compliment her ownership of her appearance and use it as an opportunity to open the conversation about choices. Explain to her that the sparkly tutu is fine, but she will not understand that it may not be appropriate to wear to the dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, it's not as important. It's not the most appropriate thing to consider. However, tell her that this is an occasion where there is room for cooperation and negotiation. But this will not always be the case. We can't let our children think that just because they want to do something that it's okay, but sometimes we can negotiate.
Wow.
Then unveil some awesome ideas to add to the fun. You can show her how to further explore the topic of ballet and ballet in general, as far as costumes, staging, music, etc. She can read age-appropriate books on ballet, and she can describe to you her favorite parts in ballets that she's seen performed. Watch documentaries, video clips about actual child ballerinas. Documentaries are very informative. Recreate a scene from Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake with her.
Oh, man,
dolls.
That's great.
It would be so much fun, wouldn't it? And then you're, again, you're taking away that negativity. Use her dolls, her arts and crafts supplies, her paintbrushes. Recreate the scene. Introduce her to the basic French ballet positions. There are 5 of them. Take off your shoes and try to do it with her.
Yeah, you talk about Swan Lake. I mean, that is one of my favorite songs of that era. I mean, we just love that song. I tried to get my son to learn all the classics, and Swan Lake was one of the.
It was beautiful.
Just one of his favorite. He could play it, but he wasn't, keyboards. He just didn't seem to grasp it. But anyway,
I also have a chapter in my book on introducing your children to literature and music. And there's so many ways to take the things that you love, like the classics, and blend it with what they love in a way that you're giving them alternatives. You're kind of meeting them in the middle. And what happens is you end up growing and learning together, because often parents, without doing it on purpose, they tend to shut down the conversation instead of keeping it open. Because we're afraid of where their choices might take them, but we have to trust our own parenting instincts. We've done a good job. We have to see where the children, how they incorporate our messages and our values.
Yeah, you're right. I think I have done a good job with this boy.
It sounds like
job with him, and I do think he's a lot of things I've tried to teach him and wanted to teach him and still trying to teach him. He's grasping, but he's a teenager, and we know what they're like. And but I want to say this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to buy this book, because I'm pretty sure some things in there that I can use to maybe even better myself as a parent, because that's what it's all about, how to raise a sophisticated child.
And George, you said something very important. You said, well, not only do you see opportunities that you can, you know, further help your son grow, not only in his maturity, but his relationship with you. But you said there's a chance that there might be some things you could learn. And that is
an
important part of what we want to growing and learning is lifelong. George, we never get tired of growing and learning. And your son will pick that up from you. And children will pick that up from their parents. It's never quite, I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. I know it all. I'm finished. We know better than that.
No, we know a lot better than that.
Oh, yes. So when they see us being willing to, you know, mm-hmm. make mistakes, but always to keep trying and keep learning, they learn that knowledge is not something that you ever have enough of. And what a wonderful lesson.
Exactly. It is true. It is true. You never stop learning. You never stop learning, because I learn something every day, all the time. And I'm older than Methuselah, and I learn something every day, all the time. And I'm not embarrassed by it. You know, I'm not embarrassed. I'm saying, wow, I should have known this 10 years ago. I should have known this 20 years ago. I'm just now learning it. You know, I don't feel embarrassed about learning something that I should have known 20 or 30 years ago, you know, because, you know, learning, grasping something new is kind of fun to me. And whatever anybody should learn, they should feel good about it. You know, don't feel great. Hey, I learned something new. I learned something today, you know. It's like
finding a dollar bill on the ground. It's exciting. It's like, wow, I didn't have this before. And you know, I can add this to my toolbox.
And like you say, it's ongoing. Learning is ongoing. Knowledge is ongoing. And I always will believe, and my audience will believe, that knowledge is power. Some people try to knock that down. I think it is power. I think the more you know, the further you're going to go. I always believe in that. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to pick up this book because it's great. Pick up this book, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. And
George, I hope.
Go ahead.
I think if you can get something out of the book, I'm completely sure that one of your viewers would. So I'm going to send you a few copies, and I will let you have a giveaway or.
Of course,
a Twitter follow contest, and let's see if we can get a few copies into the hands of your readers.
Of course, and they can always give some feedback, or maybe, you know, give a review of the book or whatever. You know, that could be fun.
Oh, that'd be great.
Tara Woods on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tara Woods Turner, are you working on another book, or you have another book in mind that you're going to do later on?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child, is the first launch book in a series that I'm working on. I'm working on, as of now, it's planned for a total of 6 books, and they're all geared towards, you know, helping families, parents, even young adults live their best life. Again, just embracing the concept of growing and learning, and also how to be sophisticated and polished, because it says so much about us. It says that we care. You know, we want to put our best foot forward, and I've got some pretty neat ways to help us do that, and to go out there and be the best people that we can be. So my next book is coming out in the fall, and it's geared towards a slightly older demographic, but carrying the same messages.
Yeah, carrying the same message, which is knowledge. And I'm just curious. I mean, you're blind. You have a disability. How do you produce a manuscript? Is it Braille, or is that?
Oh, what a good question. Again, it comes back to technology, George. There's so many wonderful, you know, things that with a few exceptions. There's nothing that a fully sighted person can do that I can't find a way to do with adaptive technology. For example, I use software that speaks to me as I type.
Okay.
So if I'm working on my manuscript or composing an email, I know exactly, you know, what I'm saying to the person, and it reads it back to me so I can make sure there are no errors. Magnify the screen because I've got about 12% vision in one eye. So I can magnify the screen when I need to, and it really makes the screen larger. I invert the text. Like, you see white paper with black letters. The only way I can see it is if it's inverted, and I see a mm-hmm. black background with white letters. Just an example mm-hmm. of different things I can do to kind of, you know, stay in my A game.
It sounds like you're having...
It's different, yeah, but I'm
challenging,
just grateful
but,
that I can't... Mm-hmm.
It's challenging, but I'm thinking that it's, some parts of it is fun.
Yes, it's empowering, George, just to know that, you know, I can mm-hmm. do what other fully abled people can do. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, it lets me chart my own course. And for that, I'm really grateful. And it is fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. You got to have, anything you do, you got to have fun at it. I mean, you got to make it fun. Mm-hmm. You can't make it, it cannot be drudging. Because if it's drudging, it's going to be drudging to the people who are going to be reading it, you know.
That does come across.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does come across. So I completely agree.
Tara, do you have a website? I'm pretty sure you do, right?
Yes. I have two sites, actually. One is on Goodreads and uh-huh. one is on Amazon. So if you go to goodreads.com mm-hmm. and just type in Tara Woods Turner, you'll be able to see my author page. And mm-hmm. if you go to Amazon and, again, just type in my name, Tara Woods Turner, it will also take you to my author page. And, you know, anyone can get in touch with me or ask me a question or just say hi, just drop in and say hello or ask a parenting question or leave a review or ask about the book. I'm more than happy to, you know, answer questions or just say hi to my readers out there.
Yeah, and I will be leaving a review of your book also. So once I get a hold of it and start reading it, you know, I will be giving a review too. So, you know, don't worry about that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
All right.
And especially from parents, it means the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, parents. Yeah, of course. The reason why I asked you, did you have a website or a blog? Because I wanted to, as I've done before, I wanted to send you, once the show is over, once it's podcast, once it's downloaded, I wanted to send you a link to this particular show that you're on now, so you can put it up on your blog and stuff, and people can come by your website or blog and just click on it and just listen to you on this show.
Yes, I would love that. I can post and I can post it on my Amazon page and on my Goodreads blog, and also, of course, I will. I'd love to brag about my appearance on your shows on my social media, Facebook and Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at OTaraTara, OHTARATARA. I would love to link to the show.
Yeah, you can. I'm going to send you a link to the show, and that's no problem about it. And put it on your website, your blog, as we talked, as we discussed. And, you know, somebody come by there, click on it, and the first thing when the show starts up, hey, you're on, you know, and it's you.
Well,
and
no, first it's that
show.
Great music, and then I'm on.
Great music.
I love your music.
All right. Say,
I love your music.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I do choose the music myself. I do everything on the show. I really do everything on the show. And I love what I'm doing. I really do. I've been on almost 2 years, and it's great. It's wonderful. All right. Tara Woods Turner, CEP, author Beyond Good Manners, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. You guys go out there and get that book. Purchase that book. Tara, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, George. Always a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Tara Woods Turner on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She says she likes my music. Thanks. I'm always getting great compliments on that. Be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, my wonderful guest, Tara Woods Turner. She's blind, folks, and she's just a wonderful and superb and supportive person with a great book, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child. We know as parents we need to be reading something like that. All right, listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY. It is, what time is it? 6:37 p.m. Chicago time. And it is still beautiful out here, folks. It is still wonderful. It looks like a taste of Chicago or something out here in front of my window. I'm in my studio. I'm located on the north side of Chicago, right near Lake Michigan, right off Lake Michigan, right over here. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Chicago is a beautiful city. Don't let no one tell you that, even though the crime is a mess. But it's a wonderful time, folks. We're going to be talking later on some more about elder abuse. That's later on in the show. But I want to give a shout out one more time to Bob Dylan. This is his, because he's such a legend. He is such a legend, folks. Bob Dylan turned 75. The guy has influenced so many other artists. I mean, down to Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Prince. Influenced on a lot of these artists who are now passed away. And Bob is still around at 75, you know. And he has a new album. He has a new album. At 75, he has a new album. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Bob's voice is not the same as it was when he was doing Blowing in the Wind back in 1961, 62, and things like Rainy Day People. His voice has changed a lot, and a lot of people are saying. But we know Bob Dylan is Bob Dylan, just like Elvis Presley. I mean, in later years, Elvis had gained a lot of weight, gained a hell of a lot of weight. He was fat. But that did not stop people from going to his concerts and turning on that television and seeing Elvis live from Hawaii. You know, that didn't stop people. And I guess basically what I'm trying to say, even though Bob's voice has deteriorated somewhat, a little bit, I'm going to say a little bit, that will not stop people from going to a Bob Dylan concert, because Bob is a legend. He is a legend, and he is, and he's still around, because before Michael Jackson, before Prince, before Rick James or the Beatles, there was Bob Dylan singing songs like Blowing in the Wind, which I have. I have it right here in my studio. Rainy Day People. I have that. Times Are Changing, Just Like a Woman. We can't forget Knocking on Heaven's Door. And Hurricane. So these are great songs. And the new album that he has, they're basically cover songs. Cover songs are songs that he's covering, songs that were made by other artists. Could have been 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. He's doing songs like that. He's doing old standards, you know, like I'll Be Seeing You and all that kind of thing. I sampled it, and I didn't think that was Bob Dylan. I have nothing against Bob Dylan, but I don't think the album is going to make it. But hey, do not take my word for it. If you're a Bob Dylan fan, if you loved his original stuff, then you should see if you're going to like this album. But, you know, for me, it didn't make it. All right, Bob Dylan turned 75 years old. Wow, that is something. And also on the same day, my son, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, my son also have a birthday on this day. He's 17. So he shares, I'm going to tell him when he gets home from wherever from celebrating his birthday. I think he's out there celebrating his birthday. As soon as he walks through the door, I'm going to tell him that he shares a birthday with the great Bob Dylan. You know what I think, folks? I don't think he's going to give two damns about that. You know, because I don't really think he knows who Bob Dylan is. But I will introduce him to Bob Dylan, you know, because I think if he wants to be a musician, he should learn to love the musicians that are out here and are still doing it. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I've been talking about Bob Dylan because it's his birthday, folks. It's his 75th birthday. And I really don't think that I've been on the show for so long. I don't really think I've ever mentioned Bob Dylan, but from time to time, I do listen to him. I try to be open about everything. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here, 347-857-1762. Or sit back and relax and just enjoy the show. Thanks to my guest, Tara Turner, for being on the show. Thank you so much. All right, let's get on to politics. Trump brings up old attacks against Clinton. I was saying something yesterday about how they're old attacks, whether they're old attacks or whether they are current attacks. These attacks that Trump is now emitting toward Hillary Clinton. Clinton is going to have to start fighting Trump back, or she's going to lose this election. Yeah, she wants, you know, take the high ground while Trump take the low ground. You better take the low ground with Trump. This is how Democrats lose. They lose when they don't fight fire with fire. They lose by turning the other cheek. This is how the Democrats lost the Congress, lost the House and the Senate in 2010. They didn't fight Republicans back. And, of course, they was fighting each other. And people were just pissed off. And they didn't vote. So the Republicans took office. And that's going to be the same thing here. You know, Hillary's got to come out with the boxing gloves because Trump is, he's a blowhard. He's a bully. He is a woman abuser. He verbally abuses women. And that's what he's doing to Hillary. Hillary is a woman. Trump is known for bullying and harassing and verbally abusing women. He knows how to do it, and he does it really well. And the way Trump is bashing Hillary Clinton, I mean, he's doing it mercifully. You want a big please the way Trump is doing, the way he's bashing Hillary. He's going after her husband. He's going after anything in her past. And basically, he's just lying. He's just lying and just coming up. And I was hearing at some point where a lot of this nastiness coming from Trump just may backfire on him. But I wouldn't take that chance if I was Hillary. I would come out swinging because if it does backfire, people are going to look at Trump as being a woman basher, being a woman abuser, and he could lose votes like that. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. He has a lot of supporters. And, you know, they're going to back him no matter what. And I still think that Hillary ought to take off the gloves. I know those around her have probably told her that she should take off the gloves against Donald Trump. If not, he's going to be president of the United States and Hillary Clinton will be going back to Arkansas. So my thing is, if Bernie doesn't get it, and it looks like he may not, and so many of Bernie's supporters have said that if Bernie drops out of the race, they will not be voting for Clinton because they just don't like Clinton and they can't do it. Obviously, they don't like Trump, so they can't vote for Trump. If Hillary Clinton do not pick up Bernie Sanders supporters once he decides to drop out of the race, she is going to lose this thing to Donald Trump. And all the media people know this. In order for Hillary to win the White House November 2016, she needs Bernie Sanders supporters. If she doesn't get them, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. That there is no second guessing that he will be the next president of the United States. That's why Clinton, who is very unlikable, sometimes I find it hard to like her. Actually, I try to like Hillary Clinton, but then she'll say something that's totally arrogant and out of place. And you look at Bill Clinton and you tell yourself he looks like he should be in a nursing home instead of out there campaigning and lying for his wife. You know, I mean, if you think about it, Bill Clinton should be nowhere near the White House. But that's just my opinion. But if you think he should, then go out there and rally around Hillary Clinton. Because if you do not rally around her, she will not be president of the United States. Trump is throwing everything at her, including the kitchen sink. I don't think Trump should be president. I really don't. I don't really think he should be president of the United States. You know, but it's going to happen, folks, if Bernie Sanders doesn't drop out of the race and if his supporters, after he drops out of race, do not give their support to Hillary Clinton because she needs it. She's going to need it. As of now, the national polling is saying that the race is tightening. No matter who's leading, whether it's Hillary or Trump, it's tightening. Probably just 3 or 4 points between them. You know? So it's going to be a tight race. It's going to be it's going to be a nail biter, actually. Wow. Sanders request re-canvass in Kentucky nail biter. Oh, maybe he wants a recount, you know. But I am a Bernie Sanders supporter, and I hope he pulls this out of his hat. If he doesn't, then I'm thinking we're going to have a Trump presidency. Inevitably. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be awful. You got some people who are now saying that they're not going to show up at the convention. They're not going to support Trump no matter what. But it's so many people out here who are supporting Trump. The Nation of Islam is supporting Donald Trump. Other black organizations, prominent organizations, are backing Donald Trump. Wow. It makes you stop and think, folks. It makes you stop and think. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Talk Radio, and the Democrats are in trouble. Here's a small clip of that.
So, a right-wing insurance executive who wants to repeal Obamacare, a telecom bigwig who opposes the open and free internet, a healthcare lobbyist who wants to privatize Medicare, and a former governor who loves fracking. These are the people the Democratic Party wants to host its convention. What gives? Joining me now is Mike Papantonio, America's lawyer and host of Ring of Fire Radio. Pap, welcome back.
How are you, Tom?
I'm well. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz ends the DNC's ban on lobbyist donations in February, and 3 months later, a bunch of lobbyist types are set to host the DNC, the Democratic Convention. Should we be surprised?
No, not at all, especially with Wasserman, especially with this thing we call the Democratic Party. You know, the Democratic National Convention is going to officially be brought to you. I mean, this is what's happening, officially brought to you by lobbyists, CEOs, and corporate interests. I mean, there's no way you can avoid speaking those words. Let's stop calling this the Democratic Party. At this point, today's Democratic leadership, Tom, they look more like the Republican Party. They share the same philosophy, minus a few social issues. If you really drill down and if you're honest with yourself, they look exactly like Republicans, minus a few social issues.
They're like the Republicans minus the bigotry.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, and it won't be long before we move there. You've seen the Democratic Party move little by little towards this thing that is nothing different than a Republican Party. Other than that, there's no difference between modern-day Democrats and Republicans from a decade ago. You know, Tom, here's the problem. Progressives no longer have a place in the Democratic Party. Rendell has made that happen. Harry Reid. Can you imagine Harry Reid coming out and telling Alan Grayson, who has done more for progressives in this country than anybody I can name besides Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and a handful of other people, come out and say to Alan Grayson, I want you to lose. The point is this. The establishment Democratic Party is terrified right now They're terrified for the same reason the Republicans are terrified. There's a new generation come up, and all of these folks that that have been establishment Democrats are at risk just like establishment Republicans are. And so with Harry Reid, Debbie Wasserman, Schultz took that order from Wall Street, for example, when Wall Street said, you got to do something about these people. You have to stop Elizabeth Warren. You need to stop the Alan Grayson types. You need to stop Bernie Sanders. You need to stop anybody who disagrees with Wall Street. Put them out of the picture, and that's what's happened. So Comcast, they're the strongest advocate now involved with the Democratic Party. Comcast, of all people, that are going to be the center stage for the Democratic convention in Philadelphia. The advocates for TPP, they were advocates for killing net neutrality. They're helping to fund the entire event. And so then we have the executives from the healthcare industry who directly lobbied against the Affordable Health Care Act. Now they're the people that are calling the shots for the Democrats. It is disgusting. If you're a Democrat right now, change your registration. Go call yourself what you are. You probably are closer, if you're progressive, you're closer to an independent. I don't know how else to characterize it. It's getting worse by the day. Ed Rendell, he's the guy that is a huge advocate for the fracking industry. Other than Hillary Clinton bundlers who've raised more than $100,000 for Hillary, the committee is made up of really nothing that you would recognize as an old world Democrat.
Yeah, basically the fat cats. I was astounded. Speaking of Comcast, they own NBC and MSNBC. And, you know, when I do my radio show, I've got a couple of monitors on. The sound is off, but it's CNN and MSNBC and then Free Speech TV that we're on. And I got into the studio this morning around 8:39, and from then until at least 3 o'clock or so, thereabouts, you know, when the radio show was over, the entire time Donald Trump was on MSNBC. I mean, it was like Trump is going to a meeting. Trump is at the meeting. Yeah. Trump's car is arriving. Trump is leaving. Trump's going to another meeting. Yeah. I mean, it was like 5 straight hours of Trump interrupted by one brief interview with James Clyburn telling Bernie Sanders to get out of the race because he was hurting Hillary Clinton. How does 5 hours of Donald Trump, millions of dollars worth of free publicity, not hurt Hillary Clinton? I don't get it. The whole thing is starting to make my head explode.
Well, but it doesn't just hurt Hillary Clinton. It hurts American politics in general.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, it debases the whole thing.
All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, where making the world a better place one show at a time. It is right here. That's what this show is all about, is making the trying to make the world a better place one show at a time. And that's what we're doing here. All right. The smart quiz question of the day for the George Wilder Jr. Show is, who was the first president? That is so embarrassing. I may not even have an answer to that, you know. But we're going to try and find an answer. If you don't know it already, who was the first president of the United States? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest was Tara Turner. If you missed her, podcast this show for later and download it and listen to her on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She has something you ought to know. All righty, this is the talk of our times, the talk of our times. Let's see what we're going to so beautiful in Chicago. The weather is just through the roof or off the hook, as some people would say. And we are totally, totally enjoying it. Totally, totally enjoying it. Okay. TSA mismanagement shakeup. I know a lot of you folks out there have seen these incredible lines at the airport, or at the airports, plural, more than one. And it's awesome. It's not awesome. It's just awful. Maybe that's the word I should have used. It's awful. People at the airport being moved around like cattle, as if they're stuffed inside of some sardine can. And I'm hearing now that there's been a shakeup. Someone has been fired. No one has been fired, just moved to another position. I mean, we need somebody's head need to roll here. at these airports. This is ridiculous. Somebody's making money. You know something is corrupt. Somebody is doing something wrong. A lot of mismanagement at the top, you know, that trickles down to the bottom. They, you know, and a lot of these airports are laying off a lot of workers, trying to save a buck and making it more miserable for you or I who's trying to catch a plane. It doesn't make sense for you to go to an airport 5 hours earlier and still wind up missing your flight. That's crazy. But I'm hearing somebody's head is going to roll, or somebody should be fired for this. All of this inconvenience and the prices that they're charging for baggage, you know, bring more than one bag, you got to pay for it. And then you're inconvenience like hell because these airports laying off workers or hiring workers who are not experienced in what they're doing. And all of this, you know, spells back up. Bill Cosby is going to trial. Wow. This is something. I mean, Bill is, this is really, really something. He's going to trial. He's going to stand trial. You know, I'm pretty sure you know why. Women. So that's Bill Cosby. I don't know much about it, and I don't try to know much about it because that's not my area. But when you think about Bill Cosby, obviously you think about the movies. He's such a funny guy in the movies. I remember seeing him in Uptown Saturday Night and all of those movies like Piece of the Action with Sidney Poitier and some of those other movies. Of course, The Cosby Show and The Bill Cosby Show. I mean, back in the day, there was hardly a place you could go without seeing Bill Cosby's face somewhere. The first time we saw him was on I Spy. And then I think he went from there to a variety show. And then he went from there to a sitcom. You know, and he just kept rising up through the ranks. And when you're a star like Cosby, but like Cosby was, Cosby, women are going to gravitate towards you. There's no doubt about it. You don't have to chase women. They're going to chase you when you are that type of a star. You know, whether you're married or unmarried, they're going to chase you. They're going to be coming after you. Whether Bill Cosby done all of these things that these people say, these women say he's done, and in some cases, he's admitted to doing some of these things. But on the sexual part of it, he's saying that it was consensual. I remember seeing a clip of Bill Cosby in a stand-up comedy routine. And he talked about drugging and putting something in women's drink. He talked about it. It was a stand-up comedy routine. And all of a sudden, this kind of thing comes back and it bites him in the ass really bad. And his wife, his lovely, beautiful wife, I mean, she is standing by him no matter what, you know, because in some cases she knows that her husband, Bill Cosby, needs her. And he really, truly do. At this moment in time, he needs her. And Bill Cosby, I believe he's in his 70s. He needed help to walk into the courtroom. I think he should be in a wheelchair from what I've currently seen of him. He probably should be in a wheelchair. But a lot of these celebrities who need wheelchairs, you know, they will refuse wheelchairs because they don't want to feel like they're dependent on someone. So I would think if you need a wheelchair, do not refuse one if you need one. All right, listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on Amazon. I have some good stories on Amazon. Lots of positive reviews, folks. Not many, but the reviews that I do have, they're very, very positive. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's what keeps me writing. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And this show, if we can say it, can we say it, bro? Can we say it? All right. This show is making the world a better place, one show at a time. Making the world a better place. That's going to be the slogan. That's going to be the logo of this show. Because this show is different from any other shows. There's a lot of radio shows and radio host on Blog Talk Radio, but you have to try to stand out. And this show is standing out. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back, folks.
We do a lot of stories on family, and we know families with loved ones in a nursing home often wonder, are they really okay? And it's a nightmare if we believe that they're being mistreated. We have a horrific example of what can go wrong. Her colleague Jane Velez-Mitchell brought this story tonight, to light, that is, last night on Issues. Let's get you the story. Tragic story. 78-year-old Lois McAllister is her name. She has Alzheimer's disease. Lois was allegedly being harassed by workers at the nursing home. But before a camera was put in the room and the video was available, the family thought, really, everything was okay.
Mary, when did your mother first tell you that workers were abusing her, and what exactly did she say to you?
It was in early March. She kept saying that she was being hurt. Her arms were being pulled and twisted. She was being punched. So I went to an administrator and told them what my mother had told me. And she got back to me and told me that it was due to her a change in her mental status.
So in other words, they were suggesting her dementia had gotten worse. The family couldn't trust mom here. Well, the family didn't take any chances, put a camera in the room. Here's what they saw. Now, it's dark video, tough to see what's happening here. And this video given to us, by the way, by Haverford Township Police Department. Lois's daughter, son-in-law, they allege this is mom being taunted, mocked, sometime when she wasn't even fully clothed. Now, Lois's daughter and son-in-law, they saw this video. Obviously, they were furious, but just heartbroken.
I don't know what joy you can derive from harming an elderly person, especially one who's depending on you to take care of them. You know, we trusted them to take good care of her, and they didn't do it.
What a great point. Who does that? Who has the heart or lack thereof to do that? Now, three workers have been charged here with aggravated assault, criminal conspiracy, neglect of a dependent person, harassment, and reckless endangerment. They've lost their jobs, from what we understand. We do have a statement or part of the statement from the company that runs the nursing home, Sunrise Senior Living. Here's part of it saying, we cherish each and every resident we serve and take these allegations very seriously. We've cooperated closely with law enforcement. They go on to say the three individuals involved in this incident have been dismissed from their jobs. And despite the unacceptable actions of a few, please remember that the quadrangle is filled with many great and compassionate caregivers and are dedicated to delivering superior care to hundreds of residents. But Lois McAllister's family, not satisfied with the company's response, they're filing a lawsuit against the Senior Living Center. Want again, bring in my colleague, Jane Velez-Mitchell, who did a great job bringing this story to light. Jane, I know this is near and dear to your heart and mine. Your mom's in her 90s. My dad's in his mid to upper 80s now. And how do we? I think people see this, they're shocked, and they go, how do we make sure a loved one in a situation like this is going to be okay?
Well, thank God for nanny cams and hidden cameras, because this may have been going on forever, and now, due to modern technology, we're starting to see what happened. Now, the family, Paul and Mary French, says when they went to management of this nursing home, they were told, well, she has Alzheimer's. Essentially, she's not really a credible witness. They, of course, deny that. But that's the problem, in essence. If you're dealing with people who are disabled in some way, how can they defend themselves? How can they say stop it or go and complain when they may not be considered to have a lot of credibility? There was another example in the Los Angeles area not too long ago that was also caught on tape, and these were profoundly disabled women being raped on camera. It was caught on camera that they were being raped by some of the people who worked there, and it was just absolutely horrifying video. And then come to find out that a huge percentage of people who work in nursing homes and these kinds of facilities have criminal records. So obviously there is some kind of problem there with monitoring these people, and of course allowing the people who live there to have a certain modicum of privacy as well. You want to have cameras on them 24/7 and have strangers looking at them. But then again, does every family member want to have to resort to putting a hidden camera in to monitor the situation? I don't necessarily have the answer, but obviously this is a problem that is more than just an isolated incident here or there. We're now hearing too many of these kinds of stories.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to make a phone call to the Alzheimer's Association, and some of their tips are very good. In other words, if you make the difficult decision to have a family member go into a nursing facility, you're still a caregiver. Visit often. Go there often. Make a relationship. Have a strong relationship with those that are your parents or your loved ones' caregivers, and find out who is going to be the caregiver. The shifts change and things like that, because we want to be so in touch and be in tune with our relatives, and I think that's an important point here, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that these three young women who were arrested in this latest case in Pennsylvania have criminal records or rap sheets. I don't know. But I do think there should be a law that says you shouldn't be able to work in a nursing home if you've got a rap sheet. This is a population that, again, cannot defend itself. They're essentially voiceless and helpless. So why are we having people who have perhaps a proclivity towards violence or inappropriate behavior watching them?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that's another fact that you brought out that's shocking to so many, that so many that have been convicted of crimes are taking care of those that we love so much. Jane, again, great job on this. Always good talking to you. And I know you and I are, since it's so close to our hearts, we're going to keep following this story.
Listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. of course, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. From my understanding, we are going to get a budget sometime in the next few days. That's what they're saying. Anyway. We'll just have to wait and see, because they've been saying that for the longest in the state of Illinois. We've been without a budget almost a year, folks. We're almost a year without a budget. There's been no budget for 2015. I don't know how in the hell they're going to do one for 2016. You know, so that's these guys in the legislature in Illinois. They have to come up with some kind of spending plan. You know, school funding, of course, Chicago Public Schools funding, not funding for schools downstate, even though some of those schools downstate in the state of Illinois, they need funding also. And a lot of this stuff, the legislature is going to try to come up with these spending packages and place them once again on Governor Bruce Rauner's desk for signing. Obviously, Bruce is not going to sign it. He doesn't sign any damn thing because he wants his turnaround agenda to be a part of the package. And the legislature is saying, no, that's a separate deal. Let's work on a budget, and then we'll work on your turnaround agenda. Bruce says no. He says no. And this is how we got into this mess in the first place. Actually, the reason why we got in this mess, some folks stayed home, and that's why Bruce Rauner allowed Bruce Rauner to buy the government, to buy the office of governor. So from my understanding is that the legislature in Illinois is going to try to override Bruce Rauner's vetoes, because this guy, he should be known as Mr. Veto, because that's all he does is veto. And he loves it. I mean, I guess this gives him some sort of adrenaline every time he denies schools, public schools that are filled with a lot of minorities and poverty students. I guess this makes him feel good or something. But he claims it doesn't. You know, he claims it doesn't. And I want to say this about Bruce Rauner. He is on America's list as one of the worst governors in America. Also, the person who shares that list is Chris Christie and a lot of other these Southern governors. However, Bruce Rauner is also on that list. You know, so he's one of the worst. So that there's no denying that. I mean, there's a lot of people out here who they're on Bruce Rauner's side. Obviously, they don't believe him to be one of America's worst presidents. But I didn't put him on that list. I didn't put him on that list. But if I had the chance, I probably would have. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. And they're saying that Illinois could have a budget. And let's say if there is a budget. Let's say if he does sign a budget. Then in a couple of weeks or a few months, he's going to have to sign another budget. Or decide not to sign it, and we'll be back in the same crap again. So he has to sign two. He's got to sign a budget for 2015. He has to sign one for 2016. Now, if he only signs a budget for 2015, then we'll have no budget for coming July. We'll have no budget for 2016. So we'll be right back in the mess again, even if he signs a budget. Especially the 2015 budget, because the 2015 budget is almost a year old without a budget. It's a year old almost. So you don't want to go through the cycle not having a budget for the first year of his governorship, for the second year of his governorship. That's bad. That's really, really bad. And I've never seen the state of Illinois like this before. I do agree with some people, some critics, who are saying that Bruce Rauner came into this. I've said this before on the show, and I totally agree with them. The state was a mess when Bruce Rauner... The state's finances was a mess when Bruce Rauner became governor. True, I agree. I agree. Madigan and Cullerton and some Democrats, they screwed it up. I totally agree. But Bruce Rauner is now the governor, so all of this rests on his lap. I agree Madigan's been in there too long. I agree John Cullerton is a lap dog. I agree with all of that. They're Democrats. But however, Rauner is now the governor, so all of this rests on his lap. Stop blaming them and blame Rauner. He's the governor. He's going to take blame for all of this. The condition of the state is not going to rest with the council. I mean, the legislature. It's going to rest with Bruce Rauner. He's the governor. And actually, Bruce Rauner came into office, and he has totally, totally made the situation a lot worse. Unemployment under Bruce Rauner is a lot higher than it's ever been. And you still got people saying, well, I voted for Bruce Rauner. He's doing what I want him to do. He's doing what you want him to do is to let this state crumble. Is that what you want? I mean, you got people like that. You got haters. You got people who's going to disagree with you just for the hell of disagreeing with you. You got crazy people. You got stupid people. You got people who are not going to see things your way no matter what, and you can't convince them. So what you do, you move right along. You know, I mean, you got the KKK who have endorsed Donald Trump, white supremacy. I mean, you've got nuts out here who are saying that Bruce Rauner is doing a great job. Bruce Rauner is not doing a great job. He's not. What do you mean by Bruce Rauner doing a great job? You mean by not doing his job? Because as long as there is not a budget in the state of Illinois, Bruce Rauner has not done his job. Every time he vetoes a spending bill sent to him by the legislature, Bruce Rauner is not doing his job. Bruce Rauner is hurting the state. And when you hurt a state, that's not doing your job. You're devastating families. You're devastating lives. You're throwing people out of work. That's not doing your job. Bruce Rauner is a public servant. He hasn't served the public one iota. Yet he has supporters out there. Of course, he's probably paying them to say, if you post something on Facebook that somebody don't like, that immediately somebody's going to rebut what you say. If you're saying something negative about him, though it is true. I mean, people are being paid to rebut certain things that you post on Facebook about someone that they may not agree with what you're saying. They're being paid. If I put up there that Bruce Rauner is the worst governor Illinois has ever had, somebody's going to say, hey, George, what are you talking about? It's a Democrat. It ain't him. You know, somebody's going to be trying to rebut that. But I would like to say to folks, it's not just me saying that. The Chicago Tribune said it. The Chicago Sun-Times said it. Other publications have said the same thing. People around the state of Illinois have said it. People in other states watching what's going on in Illinois have reiterated the same thing, that he is a failure. He's on a list of America's worst governors. I didn't put him there, okay? I'm going by what I see him do or not do to give him that grade, to share that grade with those other publications who gave him this esteem grade. I'm with them, okay? I am with them. So I'm just being who I am. I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. But, however, I am a voter. And I want to say to a lot of the Illinois voters out there, I've said this yesterday in yesterday's show, we have got to get out here and vote. I mean, we have to have a referendum once again against Bruce Rauner, November 2016. We have to vote a lot of the people out, a lot of the Republicans out in the Democratic legislature in Springfield, and put more Democrats or independents in office. That way, Bruce Rauner tries to step in the way, override will be inevitable. I mean, you got a lot of people in Springfield, as I speak, they're scared as hell to go against Bruce Rauner. They may not agree with him. They're scared as hell to go against Bruce Rauner. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs, be voted out of office. Some of them will be. That is no doubt about it, because they're assholes. They're not representing their constituency. In other words, they're not representing the people who put their asses in office. They're not representing the people who gave them their damn jobs. They will be out. However, Bruce Rauner he's behind the scenes, folks, and he's trying to rev it up for 2016 in the Illinois legislature in order for Republicans to get in. Bruce Rauner don't like anybody else with power. Unions have power. Unions are backing Michael Madigan, and he doesn't like that. Actually, the boss in Illinois is not Governor Bruce Rauner. It's Michael Madigan. And Bruce Rauner doesn't like that, because that's too much damn power for someone who is just the head of the House of Representatives in Illinois. He doesn't like that. He's a governor. He feels like he should be king and only king. And he can't do this. He has to realize he has to go through a procedure. That's what the Illinois Constitution says. You got to go through a procedure. You just can't not just tear things down. But actually, how this is how Bruce Rauner is tearing things down, tearing things up in Illinois through his executive powers. I've said this a lot of times, folks, and I mean this. Bruce Rauner is heading into his second year. He's got two more years in office. He's already has opponents lined up to run against him in 2 years. Already, the reason why he has opponents right now, because they know he's vulnerable. His poll numbers are so low, are really low, maybe 30s, 20s, 10s maybe, who knows. But his poll numbers are in the garbage. When your poll numbers are that low and you're a politician, look out. Everybody who's anybody is going to come out and try to take your job because they figure that the voters do not want you anymore. They want to change. Bruce Rauner is in trouble for 20. If he decides to run again, that is. Maybe he's not going to run anymore. If he had any sense, he probably would not, because he will not get back in office if he tries to run for re-election. I think Pat Quinn is going to run against him. But remember, this is this is 2 years from now, so anything can happen. So if we can hang in there for 2 years, if this guy's not carried out in handcuffs for corruption, if we can hang in there for 2 years, he will be out on his ass. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Thanks for listening. Thank you. All right. Okay. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. Click like. Click follow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live out of Chicago. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Amazon. I have a lot of great material on Amazon. Check that stuff out. Also, check out Tara Woods Turner. Check out her book, How to Raise a Sophisticated Child, and all of that good stuff. It's all of it's good, folks. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Alrighty, Senator Dick Durbin would rather guys like him not write about the possibility of him running for governor against Bruce Rauner in 2018. So Rauner is going to be running for re-election. Wow. And he's going to lose. He's going to lose dead on his ass. Illinois Supreme Court says it's a waste of time. Okay, the Illinois Democrat says it's a waste of time to speculate that far ahead when we have another election coming up first in November. I mean, Bruce Rauner has been so bad, it's great to speculate that far ahead, to know that there's going to be people running against him for his job if he's not carried out in handcuffs. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for listening to the show, people. I hope you join me tomorrow. All right, bye-bye.